This is Esther. And we're in a season the life of faith, and we're encouraging each other in those bold steps and life and alignments of a life of faith. So we've got these little notes that are on the welcome desk if you haven't seen them, and they kind of give some background, some context. You can read along in the Bible what our themes are each week if you'd like to. And today, Esther's speaking to us on the widow of Zarephath. Say, Lord, thank you for Esther and her props. They look very interesting. And her life of faith that she lives. And we pray that you encourage and build us up today through what she brings. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Have some props. My prayer for today, I was thinking of 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. It's quite a funny version. It says, and my message and my preaching were very plain. In another version, it says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's my prayer today, that I can bring my words. But my prayer is that we would experience that the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that actually what we read here becomes real to us, not just words. Could you put up the story? And, who would like to read the story? Joe Watson? Anyone?
No.
She's very dramatic, so. The Bible?
Am I reading it from up there, though?
You can read it from here.
Okay.
How's your eyesight?
Is it Zarephath? Zarephath. Okay.
And that.
Where am I reading from into?
So that bit.
There.
To the end.
Okay. Would you like it in English or Hebrew? Anyway. Okay. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? As she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said and make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and for your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her son continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Sometime later, the woman's son became sick. He grew worse and worse, and finally he died. Then she said to Elijah, O man of God, what have you done to me? Have you come here to point out my sins and kill my son? But Elijah replied, give me your son. And he took the child's body from her arms, carried him up the stairs to the room where he was staying, and laid the body on his bed. Then Elijah cried out to the Lord, O Lord, my God, what have you brought tragedy to this widow who has opened her home to me, causing her son to die? And he stretched himself out over the child three times and cried out to the Lord, O Lord, my God, please let this child's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's prayers, and the life of the child returned, and he revived. Then Elijah brought him down from the upper room and gave him to his mother. Look, he said, your son is alive. Then the woman told Elijah, now I know for sure that you are the man of God and that the Lord truly speaks through you.
Thank you, Joan. So with the story of the widow, it was a pretty hopeless situation. Basically, her and her son were preparing to die. All they had was some oil and some flour. They were going to prepare a meal, and they said, well, actually, this is it. This is my lot in life, that there was a drought. And it was hopeless. She was destitute. She was a widow. Her husband had died. And I'm going to speak a little bit just about my story, but the hope that I want to bring today is actually in our situations, there may be things that you're experiencing in your life and you think, that's all I've got. If I give that away, I've got nothing left. And yet what we see in this story, and we'll look at that, is actually as we give what we've got to Jesus, it is multiplied. So this widow, so there there was a drought, and it was desperate, like she was really desperate. And Elijah says to her, and it's a bit ironic because God said to Elijah, stop. He was able to, well, when Elijah prayed, it was going to rain. So earlier it says, the God I serve there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. And Elijah comes to her and says, give me what you've got. And she says, yes, I will. I will give you what I've got. And I see Elijah as, we can see that like Jesus. And Jesus asks us, will you give me what you've got? Even it may be the last thing that you have. She had no backup. She didn't have a vast vat full of oil and flour. This was it. This is her everything. And she said, I will do what you said. And it doesn't say whether she believed in God, but maybe she recognized in Elijah, maybe there is some hope. This is the prophet who said there, when he speaks, there will be rain. Maybe, possibly, if I give my last thing, my everything to him, maybe something will happen. Maybe there will be supernatural provision. I don't know for you, but for me, often we look in the natural. God is supernatural. There's a whole... I was going to sing that song. There's a whole new world. There's a whole other world. There's a whole other realm. And this is the life of faith. In the natural, this was it. And she said, well, that's it. I'm going to die. Me and my son, that's it. It is over. And the man of God comes. And through this man of God, God says, no, it's not over. I am a supernatural God. And we see throughout the Bible, God goes to the widows, the orphans, the distressed, the rejected. He goes to the sick. That is his heart. He can't help himself. And he goes to this woman through Elijah. And as we see, the oil and the flour never, ever ran out until there was rain again. She was in a place of her greatest need. My question to you, and I've asked myself this question, what is our area of greatest need? That if God doesn't show up, we're dead. Maybe not physically, but like sometimes emotionally, mentally. God, if you don't show up, I've got nothing. I've got no backup plan. That's it. And Jesus says, seek first my kingdom and all these things will be given to you. And I just want to kind of broaden our view, put our limits off of actually what can God do. And we read these stories and I think, oh, that's very nice. But my prayer is that today, and I'm sure many of you got wonderful stories of faith, but actually there's a whole nother level of actually what can God do with what we give him. This was all she had. Will we give Jesus all that we have, not knowing how on earth is he going to provide, giving him everything in the mystery, in the confusion, in the pain, in the vulnerability. I think the biggest lie that the enemy feeds us is God doesn't care. If you think of our lives, the areas that we struggle, actually God doesn't really care. God isn't really able. I can see that in my own life, the things where I struggle with, thinking actually, does he really care? Is he really able? I'm just going to share a couple of stories from my life. Faith is living, faith is active, faith is real. And I said, faith is just such a huge topic. It's huge. And I was walking our little dog, and I was thinking, God, what am I going to talk about? And I felt him say, actually, faith is God's way of him showing us who he is. If we hold on to our lives and go, actually, I want to be in control, this is my life, this is my backup, my second backup, just in case. Do we give God the opportunity to break in? And I felt God say, actually, faith is my idea of actually, I want to show you who I am. I want to show you my goodness. I want to show you my kindness. I want to show you my abundance provision in the impossible. And will we dare to step out and go, okay, God, this is so incredibly painful, but I give you all that I have, my flour and my oil. And would you come and have your way? And I was thinking of the stories of my life where I've stepped out. Every single time that I've stepped out, the best thing that God has done in it is show me that he loves me. And I think when we're in that place of knowing, gosh, he really does care. And we can say, Jesus loves you, God loves you. No, but really, in the midst of the pain and the confusion, God, do you really, really care? Do you really love me? I want to see this made flesh in my own body. I want this life to be a testimony of actually, yes, God does really care. And faith and love, I don't think faith and love can be separated. Often when we think of faith, we think, oh, this man of God is a man of faith, or this woman of God, woman of faith. And we can compare ourselves, but I felt God say, you cannot separate faith and love. As you step out in faith, I'll show you my love. It's not a religious act. It's a journey of taking Jesus' hand and going, we step out and goes, oh, I'm so proud of you. This is who I am. I am longing to provide. God is longing, God is waiting. He's looking, going, oh, where are situations that are impossible that I can break in and go, yes, this is who I am. He is supernatural. He spoke and the galaxies were born. I mean, that blows my mind. You can feast on that for years. That is incredible. God cares and he is able. Some of you might know this story. About 3 years, maybe 4 years ago, I was looking for somewhere to live, and I was living with a friend, but I had this deep, deep longing for community, to live with other people. And I couldn't explain it, I couldn't put it into words, but I realized now it was a desire from God, but it was painful. And friends would say, come and live with me. I would just want to have a friend, and I'd go, no. Because I knew there was something more, but I couldn't see it in the natural. I remember one day I was house sitting for a friend, and I was so lonely and the kind of pain of longing for something but hadn't yet seeing it was excruciating. I don't know if you've ever been in this place of like, God, it hurts so much. And I got on my knees and I just cried. I said, God, this is a desire of my heart. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't even know whether you're going to do it. But this is me. And I just cried. And then it wasn't an audible voice, but I felt God say, Esther, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And in my spirit, I went, oh, it's done. God knows. And it was a very comforting thing. And I got up and I went to work with red eyes and all snotty. But I knew in my spirit, God knew. But I had to take that step and go, God, I give you my heart. I give you those longings that are so painful. And people seem to live in a certain way and they're very happy. But for me, there's like, there's more. And now I live out in a community house of 8 adults, 3 children, a dog, and a stick insect. And it's amazing. And a lot of my healing, my emotional and mental and physical healing, has come through the context of community living. And God knew that. And he'd put that desire in me. He said, Esther, you're gonna give me that offering. I go, God, I give it to you. It was vulnerable. Over time, it came to pass. And just another story is the emotional pain of family. I phoned my mum yesterday and I said, is it okay to share? I won't go into too much detail, but I think the bottom line is we all long for connection. We all long to be affirmed and to be loved. And sometimes the feelings of rejection when that doesn't happen is huge, life-consuming. And I've been in that place where I've had to go on antidepressants just so I can function because the emotional pain is too much. And I know some of you, if not all of you, most of you will have experienced that. And my prayer was really I remember saying to God, how can you restore the years the locusts have eaten? How can you restore what wasn't there? How can I go back 44 years and have all that love have that love restored? I didn't understand it. I still don't understand it, but I had questions. But again, I just had to go, okay, God, it says in your word, you are the God of redemption, reconciliation, and restoration. Do I believe that your heart is to do that? Yes, I think so. and again, just for me, quite a lot of it involves tears, and I'm quite an emotional person. So if you didn't know, and again, just on my knees, going, God, it hurts. Just that longing to connect, that longing to belong. And we've seen extraordinary things in our family. Me and my sisters went away for a weekend this year. Well, a few months ago. That is a miracle. Okay, I can't say that. It's not easy, our relationships. We after Christmas we went for a drink and I started sharing I'm struggling and just working through some things, and they both said, we are experiencing exactly the same thing. One's a Christian, one's not a Christian. We were all, God was all taking us on a journey of, because of life, we didn't get what we were meant to receive as children, and God was just doing it in us at the same time. And then I'm stepping out in faith and choosing to open up to my parents to communicate and just to just talk to them and to be open. And that's my journey of faith, and it's not instant. Sometimes a journey, it's a journey. It takes a while. So I thank God for what he's doing in my family. But this lifestyle of faith is, it's a lifestyle. It's not a one-off, Jesus, fix me here, please. But it's laying down the whole of our lives. It affects our jobs, our money. I've got extraordinary testimony of money, God providing. When I've given him my last bit of money, and then a few days later, bam, I get tenfold. Like, not because of what I've done, but actually God wants to show his abundance generosity. And I'm like, whoa, you are so kind. One of my favorite verses, actually Romans 4:18. Even when there was no reason to hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. In the NIV, it says, against all hope, Abraham believed. I like a challenge. Against all hope, against whatever it says in the physical, I will hope in God. I will put my faith and trust in God. I think the goal of all this is Jesus wants us for himself. A friend of mine said that to me the other day. He said, Esther, Jesus wants you for himself. I'm thinking, what does that even mean? Like, I think sometimes we can lose that. We think we've got to do all these things as a Christian. Jesus just wants us for himself. And I go, I don't know what that looks like. What does that look like to be in a relationship with a father who actually you can't see in the physical? What does that look like? And that's what I'm learning. That's my journey of actually enjoying the fact that God enjoys me and has pleasure over me. I'm thinking, wow. And as I step out in this journey of faith, I'm seeing God's goodness and kindness and his love for me. I think, oh, he does really care. And I do know that now. And what that does in me, what that should do in us, is affect how we see things. In my job, I work with homeless and vulnerable people. I have faith for transformation of the guys that I see who are deep in addiction and alcoholism, who actually have no kind of healthy community around them. And I felt God say to me a few weeks ago to set aside 40 days and to pray for my workplace. I go, okay. And I came back from leave after God had said that, went into my office, and my manager said, I'm leaving in a month's time. I was like, whoa. And it all happened very quickly. I said, God, is that why you're asking me to pray, to see your kingdom come? And can't say too much because my CEO is here. So that's what God is doing. And I think that this time of prayer and just saying, God, my desire is to not just meet practical needs of people in need, but what does it look like to see the kingdom of God break out in amongst the people we serve? I was here yesterday for a prayer and worship conference, and there was a guy here, and I thought, I recognize you. How do I know you? And I couldn't place him. I came back the next day. You used to use the Wild Goose. He was a homeless. He was one of our service users, come to eat with us. And I said, oh, hi, really nice to see you again. He said, and he's not even from this country. He said, Esther, I've come here to pray for our city. And I almost burst into tears. It was such a beautiful thing of, like, actually, God is moving, and he used to use our service, and now he was here again. I want to pray for my city, of God taking a life. And I'm like, God's given me faith to see lives change only because I've seen him do it in my life. Okay, it's real in me. It's a testimony in me. A testimony comes when we're tested. And then a funny story. A guy he chatted to me about 3 weeks ago, a guy who uses our service. He said, Es, you never guess what happened to me yesterday. And it's on the Monday. So on Sunday, he said, a priest, which I think maybe a pastor or a vicar, he came up to me on the street and he bought me a pizza. And he said, come to my house. I went, oh, it's a bit dodgy. And but there was church going on in this house. I don't know what church it was. He said there was worship and prayer and everything. He said, I got baptized in the bathtub. And I was like, okay, do you know what the road is or who these people are? No. I go, okay. Anyway, And I saw him last week. And then on that day, he said, Esther, and he was deep in heroin addiction. He said, Esther, I have no desire to use drugs. And I was like, wow, God is on the move. And then saw him last week. He was serving teas and coffees with the wet clinic that we do on our premises. For people who drink alcohol, they can bring their beers in. And he said, Esther, I'm so in love with Jesus. I've written 40 psalms. And he was speaking and I was just weeping. I was like, we think we're here to serve, you know, to let me help you, you poor and needy person. Actually, God turns it around and goes, actually, pray for me. You know, and just seeing extraordinary things, seeing God at work in my workplace, and that's been my prayer. And I think what God does, as we see God work in ourselves and we see step out in faith, oh my word, God really is good. I have dreams of actually what do I want to see God do? Not just for myself. Yeah, I'm stepping out in faith for an area of my life that I need God's supernatural intervention. I cannot do it on my own. But what are we dreaming for? If we've got a situation that we can work it out on our own, I don't really think that's faith. Faith is where we go, right, God, I give you it all. If you don't turn up, I'm stuffed. In Hebrews 11:35, we see that actually this woman here is mentioned in the book of Hebrews. Women received their loved ones back again from death. So her son was raised to life again. And I was thinking, God, that's... Anyway, I'm not going to go into the theological things of that because I don't have any answers. But I think what God is saying is actually he brings resurrection life from whatever areas we think in our lives are dead. And we say, actually, we even compartmentalized an area and thinking, well, God, 95% of my life is brilliant. This area, don't even go there. There's no hope there. There's no way that God can bring streams of living water or anything gushing forth anywhere in the desert. It's not just a trickle, it's a gushing forth of the Spirit of God in a supernatural way. This is not, we see things in a physical sense, but actually, whoa. And do we dare to step out and go, God? Like, my housemates have seen me cry and just, like, it's painful. And sometimes, I'm hoping now it won't be so painful and it'll be quite a joyful walk. And my walking work is joyful and it's exciting, thinking, God, what are you going to do today? It's not meant to be a heavy yoke or a heavy burden. And so I think my prayer is that areas of our lives where we've given up hope and saying, God, don't even open that box. Don't even go there. Of actually God is saying, will you trust me and will you take my hand and will we step out together? I want to show you the goodness and the kindness and the abundance of our Heavenly Father. Oh no, I'm not leaving this time. I was going to hand over to these guys just to... Okay. My heart is always is when we hear God speak is to respond. I think let's all stand. And I think if... And I think actually, I think part of taking a step of faith is actually kind of a physical thing of actually, God, I step out in faith. And what I would love to do, I'd love to pray with people, and I'm sure there are... Sorry, I saw there are people here who just love to pray, and even you don't even have to say anything. Just say, Jesus, I'm here. I've got no words, and that can be quite a vulnerable. It is vulnerable, and it's emotional because it's sometimes it's very deep, and so what? I think I'm just going to pray. If you want to just come forward and that being your step of faith, saying, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I think I might begin to trust you. and step out. It might be a tiny thing, might be a big thing. It doesn't matter at all. So I'm just going to pray. Jesus, we thank you that you're a God of hope. We thank you that you are a God of resurrection. We invite you, Holy Spirit, just to come. Come and minister to us. Give us courage in our pain, in our doubt, in our confusion, in our fear, to take that step of faith in a safe place in this family of God, to say, I choose to give you all that I am. I don't have a backup. This is me. And so if you'd like to, I would just really encourage you just to come forward. The biggest thing that always stopped me was shame. Well, I can't do that, because what will people think? But this is a safe place. God is here. And we just love to just invite the presence of the Holy Spirit, the living waters, just to come and flow.
Whoa.
Yeah, to come and touch areas of our lives that we thought were dead. Yeah, thank you, Lord. And as you just step forward, just receive from God. And if Rob just plays in the background, and we just come and just lay hands and just bless what God is doing. And those of you, just, you know, wherever you are, just pray. Got a couple of minutes before we have to collect children. Yeah. And God, we just pray for your streams of living water. It says in Isaiah 35, where there is wilderness and barrenness, that your Holy Spirit comes and brings rivers gushing forth from nowhere. And we ask just for supernatural provision, supernatural healing, supernatural restoration and redemption. And Father, you are so gentle. You are so gentle. Just come. Come, Holy Spirit. And those of you who like to just maybe just come and pray, people just come lay hands, just bless what God's doing. Thank you, Lord.